From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Chad Beater.
And I'm Andrew Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. And I have no idea what we're talking about today. What are we going to cover today, Andrew?
More examples. So a couple weeks ago, we went through crashes, hangs, and stuff like that. We've done a crash episode. We've done a blue screen of death episode. And today, we're going to do a hang. So
nice.
This actually was sent to me by my brother, my twin brother, Edward. So shout out to Edward. So what he had was, I'll set up the scenario, is when he logged into Windows, Explorer itself was hung. So it drew the taskbar, but when he went Windows E to bring up a folder, it just hung. And so the way he, I told him to give me a dump file, and in this case, the way he did it was he went into Task Manager, which I like to use Control Shift Escape to get to. And he found Explorer. At this point, it's hung, so luckily he was able to do this bit. He killed Explorer. And then in my system, it doesn't restart, so he may have had the same experience. And then he re-ran Explorer. And then it was hung. He got to rough of the desktop and nothing else. And then he right-clicked and went create dump file. And then he sent me the dump file. So no extra tools really required. You could have used procdump or something like that to do it as well, but obviously you're going to get to the same point. The dump file he gave me is what we're going to go through today. So with a hang, it's not like with a crashes where there's a definitive point in time, right? You need to find a... you need to look at the whole thing holistically, right, and not just like the current thread. And if we look at this thread, for example, the thread number 0 out of all of the threads, the tilde command will show you that there is 9 threads. The little dot in the front over here tells us that's our current thread, which is why we've got 000 here. And that's the reason why the k command drew the stack in that context. So what we want to do is, across all the threads, find out what's going on. Now, luckily with 9 threads, it's not too onerous. And what we're going to do is use tilde star K, and that dumps out every single stack. As you can see, there's some very shallow ones. And this is wait for multiple objects one, which is relatively shallow. And there's some long ones, really long ones, another long one, short one, shortish one, and a long one, shortish one, and shortish one. So the debug extension, which is available in the SkyDrive up there or down there, wherever it is, can kind of simplify this for you. There's a command called deep. Deep's exactly the same as tilde star K, but you can say, don't show it to me unless there's a certain number of frames, right? So let's do a clear screen, which is .cls, and then run that. And so I've just kind of filtered it down to stuff that's busy, right? And this is a very common technique. You can do this very heuristic generic analysis just to filter out the noise. So now we have 3 threads to look at. You want to read them from the top to the bottom, as in what they're doing lately. This guy is waiting on something, right? And he is waiting on an RPC call, right? Which is a very common thing. It's something to do with marshalling. So marshalling and during a destructor. So the tilde on the front is the keyword for destructor. So something's been deallocated at the moment, released. And so this com object or class is deallocating, and it's still waiting for RPC to finish. So for some reason, that's pending. Just something to keep in mind, not really the definitive thing. But you might go, well, if the RPC call never comes back, that might be why it's all frozen, right? Mm-hmm. Let's look at the next one. So the next one is a little bit more interesting. There's a critical section on it. So as soon as you see a critical section on something, you know, bells start ringing, because critical sections very, very regularly are the reason why things hang. And let's quickly go through this guy. He's trying to load a string, right? And loading a string, he's trying to load a string from a resource, and it's what we'll load resource from alternate module. And this is a little key word. So when we have, as a Vista and above, when we have strings, we no longer put them in the DLL or the exe. We actually put them in a separate file called an MUI file, which means that when we have the, whatever it's 20, 30 odd languages, when we have a fix, we don't have to release it 20 or 30 times, because we're doing a code fix, and normally we would have had to release the program 30 times with the strings in it. by separating the strings out into an MUI file, the XE is now language agnostic, language neutral, and it just has IDs into the file. And that's what that is right here. This guy is trying to load a string for someone, and it's going to open up a MUI file to do that. And here's the last string. So we can surf around the...
Find
some strings. So dump by pointer. So we're going to do pointer increments and look for Unicode strings. Everything in Windows tends to be Unicode-ish. So that's... choose that range. Didn't redraw very nicely. Where are we? And there's explore.exe. And what else do we find? Nothing really else. What thread was that? Thread number, this one. Anyway, so it's trying to load a string.
Thread 5.
The person who's asking for this string to be loaded is Euromon. Euromon or Euromonitor is the person who worries about the integrity of URLs in the box. And that could be like HTTP something or FTP, but also includes things like file colon, and also all the other protocols that you might do, like RRDP and all these other ones which are used for streaming types, like Real Player and all those types of streaming types. All those letters on the front with a colon, then a slash. It's been asked to do this by the cache zones subsystem. So Windows has the concept of zones. And you can see that under the security tab here, that's what these are. These are zones. And so certain files and certain websites are considered to be either in the internet zone or the local intranet zone or the trusted sites or restricted sites. Parts of your hard drive are included in this. All right. So let's have a bit of a scan down. So this Explorer frame things, trying to look up a zone and then checking your URL and then loading a string. Mm-hmm. And then while loading the string, lock loader lock.
Loader lock.
And as soon as you see that, ding, 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 the loader lock is a very, very common reason why things jam. If someone holds the loader lock, which I'll explain what it is in a sec, it tends to jam other people trying to achieve things, particularly trying to load other DLLs. The loader lock is a lock. It's a critical section made by the operating system that protects the loading of DLLs. Only one DLL or image can be loaded at once in a process. And you take out the loader lock, you do the operation of loading it, and then you release the lock, and then the next person has a go.
And in general, that's what a critical section is. Like, generically, a critical section is a lock around some kind of a resource that needs to be shared and only accessed by one person at a time.
Yeah. So let's scroll down. So we had Euromon up there and some zoning stuff. So zones, we're looking up a URL, which kind of makes sense because that's what zones do. And then it was in looking up the URL, it had to load a string to do some comparison. So maybe it's trying to look up HTTP colon as a string and compare it, for example. If we actually change to this guy, so this is the next thread. The next thread is also waiting on a critical section, right? This time, the URL mon code is calling to the critical section. And you can take this kind of basic approach to things. The module that calls critical section is the person who made the critical section, because it's really the only way that they know that this piece of memory represents a critical section and knows that of its existence. So Euromon is involved again. So the previous one was Euromon calling to load string, and then the loader lock was taken out by the operating system. In this case, this thread is waiting for the URL critical section. So they're asking for different critical sections, but they seem to be making progress. Scanning down, it's a zone manager thing. Euromon's involved. And then there's some XML. And we go, well, how do we go from XML to Euromon? That doesn't kind of make sense. So let's trawl some of that memory to see if we can get some evidence to work out what kind of makes sense. So you know, start binding sounds like something where it's kind of like the end of it. So let's look for strings again. And let's go all the way down to this load. So this load should have something good in it. Now, because I'm scanning for Unicode characters, no bang on the front. You do get a lot of this rubbish on the screen, because unfortunately the address space that Windows uses happens to be valid code pages for Unicode, right? And it just happens that, you know, memory addresses line up nicely, and then these Asian characters are in these really high numbered Unicode pages. And so we actually got a good string in the right in the middle here.
There's one that looks interesting.
Yeah. And so if we grab that address, we can see all of it, because it, it only gives you a certain number of characters before it gives up. And go dump Unicode, you can see the whole thing. And so you can see C program files, Roxio, blah, blah, lang.xml. Well, that explains why the XML 3, I think it was being used, because it's trying to open up an XML file. And then let's scroll up a little bit more. We can see that same string again. And then at this point, we can see that it's got filecoin on the front.
So that's how URLmon got involved.
Yeah. And so everything on the hard drive can be filecoined reference. And so now it's looking up on, because it's an XML file, and XML files are considered to be dangerous, or could be considered to be dangerous, it's looking up whether it's in a folder that's considered to be safe.
Yeah.
Right? So the Windows folder and program files has a different amount of security than a random file on your hard drive, right? And because it's more trusted, and it's just a more trusted location. And in this case, it is program files. So that explains the transitions between XML and URLmon. So let's go back to the stack and see what else we can garner from. Where'd it go? All right. So realistically, we've handled all this stuff. It's all very explainable. We've got an XML file on the hard drive we want to open, which is the loading and the binding. We then turned it into filecoin to do the same thing. It's binding to filecoin, program files, blah, blah, blah. It's treating it as an internet file, and then it's asking what zone it's in, and then processing a URL, and then it has to initialize the zone manager. So at this point, this copy of this thread and this copy of URLmon doesn't know what zones are yet, so it's having to load the zone infrastructure, right? But to do that, it has to do a critical section. So obviously, URLmon only has one copy of all this to be efficient, and then it protects that initialization with a critical section. So who called this, right? So we go down a bit further, and then we get some third-party code, this RB folder. Now, how do I know it's third party? Well, there's a very quick way to do that. I'm just going to jump to this thread before I forget which one it's in. If we do list modules, I've got some redraw issues with this version. You see how we've got all these deferreds at the moment? What I'm going to do is a reload, and I'm going to force a reload. So that's going to say, go to the symbol server and download everything that you can find. And let's do that LM again. And so everything that came back with PDB symbols is something that we were able to get a symbol from the symbol server. And the symbol server on this system is set to the public website. So everything where there's a gap is either not indexed by Microsoft or it's third-party code. And if we use the debug extension that I give out, there's actually a command called ungrep, which is filter out lines of code. So I don't want the phrase PDB. If I see PDB, we'll just grep for export. Let's either go negative or go positive. So if it has the word export in the line, for example here, all right, do it. So we're going to do that. And then we're down just to the exports. And RB virtual folder 64 is one of those exports. And if we click on that, we'll find out that it's Roxio. All right. So here's the stack. We've explained why URLmon exists. It's interpreting something for XML. Roxio is trying to open a DLL file. We can cheat and use my extension and say, show me all the Unicode strings. And there's the file. And then down here somewhere will be the file without the file colon on it, and it's a Roxio XML file, so that's completely justified that Roxio is trying to open an XML file. And then let's look at where we are in Roxio. So the thing about not having symbols is, see how these numbers are all huge? if you, what the debugger does is, if there's any symbols at all, in this case there's exports, right? It just has a table that says, I know where the location of these three things are. If I am way, way over here, it just trundles back to the point where it finds the first symbol, right? So in this case, we are 1C9AE away from register server. It doesn't mean we're in a function called that. It just means that that's how far we are away from the symbol. And the fact that we've got initialize routine calling into unregister server is kind of suspicious, right?
Doesn't sound right.
So what we can do is actually do a bit of assembly here and just double check our logic. So let's get RB folder, and I'm using the X command, which will show every function in it, and there's four.
That's all we know about.
That's truly is. And if you know about DLLs, when you go in, you call register. When you unload it, you call unregister.
So these are the four functions that this DLL has exported.
Correct.
And the reason is because Explorer or somebody outside needs to call those.
Yeah, and so when a DLL loads, particularly the contract for a DLL, is that you must have a register server and an unregister server. That's just right. The way it can do. Well, it has to have all four of those, actually. So this unassembled register server, if it doesn't want to do, some funky redraw issues today. And you can see that it did something, it did a push, and then it did a call. And see how it's an unregistered server? So it's called way, way up into the DLL. Now, we call it unregistered server because coming down, we hit unregistered server first. And if we look at these numbers, this guy is the highest in the range. So when you walk backwards, you hit unregistered server. If can unload now happened to be compiled into this position, can unload now would be seen right here, right? It's just you walking backwards.
The short, I think, takeaway from this is if we don't have any symbols and you see that export symbols, the function names that you see in the stack are probably not accurate, especially if the offset is very large.
Correct. I have the general rule of thumb is if I see four digits, you're off the reservation, right? Probably even around the 200, 300 mark is pushing it for most functions. And so what we can say is they probably did call into register server because that's what load library does. Mm-hmm. And then it came here and went into this function, so 3C1B0. And if we look at the stack, where have I lost it? We're up in the 24,000 range and we're way, way, way off. So let's just assume that it was a register and that it makes sense that the previous line is initialized routine, and we can explain away why we're not in the register function right now. And so at this point, we have the loader LDR load DLL. Well, we know from a just straight pure theory that we always take out the loader lock. So the odds are in this area of here, we took out the loader lock and then continue on to go run functions that achieve and initialize. And so at this point in time, you would expect that this thread owns the loader lock.
Yeah, it's so, called load library EX. You can see there, load DLL. So
by definition,
it has to have the loader lock right now because it's still in the middle of loading a DLL. Yep.
So let's see if we can prove that, right? So we have 9 threads. Oops. And the thread that we are currently on is 6, which is 18FC. So this one on the front, the 1880, is the process ID. And we can put a question mark on that if we wanted to turn it into decimal. The debugger by default runs a radix of hexadecimal. You can change it to decimal if you want. I highly suggest you don't. So this is process ID 6784, and decimal, the thread we are on is thread 6396. So if you add columns to things like Presses Explorer and Task Manager, you'll be seeing the decimal number. You need to remember to translate the two. Don't get confused with ones like this when that's actually hex.
Right.
So we expect that the loader lock is going to be owned by 18FC at this point, right? And there's a debugger extension for this, bang locks. And it's going to take a little while. It takes a little while to scan the files. based on the symbols that you have and how public they are and whether it exports, sometimes each critical section will or will not, may or may not have a name associated with it. The loader lock happens to have a name associated with it. Where a lot of these other ones, for example, this one at this address, 662.74.70, we just call it the name of the address, right? So there's a fair few, there's 978 critical sections allocated in this process, which is a fair few.
Yeah,
that's a lot. Three of them have names. The loader lock has a name, explorer name has one that represents something, the URL manager, which is kind of interesting because we saw that before, and then we saw lots of other ones. 18FC, which is this guy's current thread number 6 is thread ID, owns a fair few of them. He owns that one, he owns that one, he owns that one. But he doesn't own these two, right? And he does own this one. Right. So he does own the loader lock.
Right.
So just to be sure that that first one out of the three, or so the one who's waiting on the loader lock, is one of the people involved. So let's have a look at what this guy is waiting on. We think it's a loader lock, but let's just double check. So thread number 5, right? So thread number 5 is 1810, right? So
we know that thread 6 owns the loader lock, and we know that thread 5 is waiting for the loader lock, which is why he's not progressing.
Yep. And so he's not the person who owns the lock, right? It's someone else, right? And so I'm going to control C this. So this changed to 5.
So the question then is, why is
this? And let's see if we can work out whether he's waiting for that lock, right? And so KV command will verbosely give you a lot of these parameters. So when you have a critical section, where are we? Here's the critical section, and here's the object. And so he's waiting on all these objects, right? And so what we want is to find evidence of a pointer to the loader lock's address. And the loader lock is 77717 something. And lo and behold, 771490 is right there.
On the stack. Right. So he is waiting for that lock.
Right. So he's waiting for that lock, which matches the symbol knowledge we have. But we definitively know for a fact that he's waiting on that lock.
We kind of guessed that because the function earlier was called something loader lock, right?
But if you have the fundamentals,
yes,
right, and you can do it anyway, regardless of the symbol names.
Yeah.
So that explains what 5 is. 5 is waiting on the loader lock, which kind of matches all of our investigation. So let's work out what the opposite is happening. Let's see what 6 is waiting on, right? Move to 6, do a KV, look for the data in the thing. 77, I didn't change to 6, I didn't put S on it. He is waiting on, slightly different way of looking at the code. Looks like it's 2A something. Let's see where this is allocated. And so we're looking for either one of these two. So 7FE double Fs. 7FE. 7FE double F, and they're all kind of hanging around here, right? And so what you can say is, well, one is waiting on the other and the other is waiting on the other. The way that you describe this situation is a deadlock.
Deadlock,
right? We saw URLmon start, he took out a lock to do his initialization, and then he started loading a string, he wanted to take out the loader lock. Someone else, the Roxio thread, had the loader lock and is trying to check a URL, and he can't take out the URL mon's critical section lock. There's actually a debugger extension that does this all for you, also on the SkyDrive, SIEEXT pub and critlist. So critlist will analyze all critical sections and look for this exact situation, right? Now, I happen to not have the public version on here, I have the internal one. But it looks the same thing. And it just gives you the answer straight away. thread 6 owns this critical section, and he's waiting on this critical section. Thread 5 owns this critical section, which is that number, and is deadlocked on the other one. So when you get a hang dump with something that's frozen, the very first step is always crit list. Always. Just spend the 1 second and see if it's a critical section block. A lot of times it does help, it, you know, it's successful and, that, and the, you've root caused it. The other type of deadlock you'll get is that a critical section is waiting on someone who is waiting on a semaphore, and the semaphore won't be fired unless someone has the critical section. So it's a critical section semaphore mix. This won't pick this up, right? And then you'll have to do the exact same analysis I just did for any of the synchronization types. What I just did is pretty well generic across all of them. Now, the benefit of critical sections is they have an owner, right? So bang locks will show you, and crit list will show you who owns the critical section. None of the other synchronization types have that, right? And so you have to do this, right, this stack is waiting on this pointer, this stack is waiting on this pointer, and that type of magic. All right, so the question is, who did the wrong thing, right? And the answer is Roxio, right? And it's not that they're doing anything wrong from a point of view of opening an XML file or URL mon scanning it, it's just when they did it. Within a DLL's register server, it is illegal to do anything but call kernel 32 calls, right? Because you can deadlock the system as we see, right? The only thing we guarantee, well, I think this is an unofficial guarantee, but you can take it as a pretty hard guarantee, is that you can call all of the primitives that make synchronization objects, like create mutex, initialize critical sections, and anything that makes a synchronization object, and you can do nothing else. And what you should be doing is, once you've got through DLL main, you should have allocated your synchronization objects in global space, and then every single function entry point into your DLL should go acquire the object, or check if it's fired or whatever, whether initialization has been done. If it hasn't been done, do your initialization, which in this case would have been this XML Euromon stuff, and then release the lock that's associated with initialization, and then continue on and do the real work. And so roughly the first person who's called, whatever function that is, if it's responsible for setting up the environment, don't do it in your DLL main. This is why you get load of lock failures. If everybody followed those rules, you would never see this dump file. So,
very nice. So that's CSI computers for this week.
Yeah.
You're like House coming up with the diagnosis.
Yeah. So I think with a load of lock is one of those things that you will see. People make the mistake. It's a common mistake. Now, what can you do about this? Not much. In this case, my brother didn't even know he had this. This was pre-bundled software with his machine. He had never used Roxio to burn a CD, and so he just uninstalled it.
Yeah.
And then immediately the thing sprang to life. When it comes to something that you are using, go to our website if it's our code, go to the third party's website if it's their code, see if you can find an update. This guy's actually kind of old. So my brother gave me this dump not that too long ago. LMVM list module with verbose information using a mask, so I could have put an asterisk on it if I don't want to be accurate. And then this thing is
3 years old.
3 years old, and then this ver target will tell us this was taken in May this year, right? Mm-hmm. So it was three years old when it was taken.
So they may have an update for that already.
Yeah, and he went the route of uninstall because he
if you're not
didn't use it.
What the heck?
And particularly Roxio, I'm sorry, Roxio, but you know, burning's in the box.
Yeah.
So that was no real point.
It could be a power burner. You do those, if you get real fancy with your CD.
Well, you could do, Microsoft's never had this. We've never had the DVD menu creator, right, where you lay out all your video files and stuff. We never really had that.
Well, we
functionality.
Did have, I think,
DVD
Movie Maker had some of
DVD
that.
Creator or something.
Something like that.
Oh, okay.
We got it.
We got it.
It's somewhere. Well, nice work troubleshooting there. So if you have any other things that you want to troubleshoot, any questions, send them defragtools@microsoft.com, and we will take a look and help you out. See you next week.
Thanks, week. Bye.